Welcome to Poolsville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolsville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolsville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You're always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Acts, chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. In his message titled, "The One Who Was Not Welcome," Reverend David Williams tells us that humans like categories. It helps us know who we are. We fall easily into the trap of anyone not in our category is rejected. God loves everyone because God is love. God asks us to drop our categories and love everyone. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's Word.
Please be seated. We gather in this place with friends and people we know, and we're part of a community that gives us comfort, that makes us comfortable. And that's a good thing, and this is a safe place, and that is a blessing. But wherever we have places where we can get comfortable, there is a danger that in that comfort we will forget about those who are different and forget about those who are struggling and forget about those who are not us. That is a challenge that every community faces and that all of us personally face. When we forget that this is a world full of those who are different and who are in need. And so now let us admit that we often close ourselves off to that different and those different voices. Let's admit that by praying together the prayer of confession. It's printed in our bulletin. Please join with me in the praying of it. Gracious and loving God, we know your Spirit moves in us and works to transform us. The radical Nehov that is your very nature strives to live in us and to move us. But when it comes time to live out that love, we hold back. We prefer to love those who are like us, those who fit, and those who love us back. We struggle with your call to love all as freely as you love us. We don't just struggle with it, we fight against it. For our inattention to our growth in grace, forgive us, Lord. In Christ's name, forgive us. Amen. Hear now the assurance of God's pardon. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. I declare to you, in the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. May the God of mercy, who forgives us all our sins, strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen. Our third scripture reading for today is drawn from the Acts of the Apostles. I'll be reading from Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. You can follow along on page 127 of your pew New Testament. Let's now listen a third time for God's holy word. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go towards the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home seated in his chariot. He was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you? Does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak. And starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here's water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here might be acceptable in your sight, O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We love being able to categorize things, being able to know what things are, to name them. It is a fundamental part of our human nature, our love of categories, because categories or power. If you can name something, it gives you this sense of control over it. We can claim that we understand it, and in claiming understanding of it, we feel a sense of control over our world. And the world we live in, the world I live in, is a world of roads and wheeled vehicles, and for some reason, I know what all of them are. Maybe it's a mannish tendency, but if I drive down the road, I know what every car I see is. I just know them. My sons and I used to play that game back when they were smaller. They'd be like, "Dad, name as many cars as you can," and be like, "Boom, boom, 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 boom," and I would name them, and it'd be like on the beltway, and they'd be on the other side, and that's a lot all at once, but it's like, bam, bam, bam. I know them. All the brands, all the names, all the years of the cars that passed, and it would awe them. The power of their car father, my mighty mastery of automotive trivia. Of course, if you put me in a forest in the midst of trees, I can't name any of them. "Hey, Dad, what kind of tree is that? Oak? Sycamore? Larch?" "Like, Dad, that's a telephone pole." And neither can I successfully tell the difference between edible woodland plants and inedible ones, which for some reason strikes me as a more useful thing to know in a crisis than differences between Toyota Camry model years. You know, "No, son, that's not an edible Camry." You know, it's like categorizing and labeling things gives us this sense of power. Even and especially a sense of power over our own sense of identity as we take labels and categories and apply them to ourselves in our own quest for self-understanding. And that is why I think we so love all of those online quizzes that we take when we're trying not to do what we're supposed to be doing. We can know right now and today what Avenger we are. The Vision. I haven't seen the movie. I don't know why I'm that. We can know what X-Man we are. We can know what captain on Star Trek we are. We can know which Kardashian we are. God have mercy on our souls. I tried to take that test, but my mind kept shutting down in self-protection. You know, it's just, we can know which house the Sorting Hat would put us in. Ravenclaw. Always, always Ravenclaw, because really it's the most Presbyterian of the houses. We can know which of the factions in Divergent we would be. if you've read those books. Although, honestly, I read the first one, and I was like, why would a society ever get structured like this? It's weird. What is the point of being brave and not selfless, or smart and not honest? But, you know, it's categories, so the books sell like hotcakes. We human beings like that form of thinking because it tells us, I am this. This is what I am, and that's great. All well and good if it's just a bit of wasted time online, but that form of thinking has not always manifested itself in benign ways throughout human history. Yes, it has helped us find our own self-understanding and distinctiveness, but as we look to those things that make for our particular culture or our particular language or the way that we look, we tend to assume that that distinction means that we are better. And those who don't fit that mold, who speak differently or look differently or understand themselves differently, we have that label for them. They are the other. They are the not us. And that allows us to see them as ones we dislike, who are inferior because they don't meet all our standards, you know, with our blue-green eyes and all. Or it makes them our enemy. Our categories become ways not to see that person in front of us, not to see them in their complexity and in their God-loved reality. They become reasons not to welcome. They become reasons to reject and to close off. And as we live that out, it's important for us to hear stories like the one from the Acts of the Apostles this morning about Philip and the Ethiopian. And this is an interesting story for a lot of different reasons. Philip, as we hear this tale of the early church, is the apostle called to go first to those people who are different. He's in the midst of a mission to others. Where has he just been? He's just been up in Samaria, spreading the message of Jesus to the Samaritans, who, as we know, were the traditionally reviled and hated northern neighbors of the people of Judah. He's finished up his time there. And as we enter this passage, he has felt himself called to travel the road between Jerusalem and Gaza, which we get a little aside, that's a wilderness road. That's a dangerous road. It's nice to know so much has changed in 2,000 years, you know? On that road, he encounters someone who is passing by. And he's moved to go join him. The Spirit calls him, go be with this person. And what's one thing worth noting, one aside worth noting here, Philip is moved to engage with the stranger, but there's a detail there that's subtle that should pop for us. He hears what the stranger is reading. He hears it. And it's a little difficult for us to wrap our heads around why this is, but I'll up and tell you, in the ancient world, reading was social. It was something that you typically did out loud. It was not common, although it was practiced, but it was not common to just sit there and quietly read to yourself. I mean, again, most of the people back then were not literate, only a small minority. But those that were did not kick back in the evening under candlelight with a scroll and a nice Cabernet. That was not the way they thought about reading. It was something you did with and around other people. When you saw a word, you spoke it, so that those around you would hear what you were thinking and what you were saying in the presence of that person who had written it. And that was how reading worked. Reading was social, a shared thing. Can you imagine if we did texting like that? It would destroy the whole purpose of texting. If we had to read everything we got a text on out loud, I mean, it would so disrupt worship. It'd be like in classes, no one would be able to hear anything. Everyone would be constantly talking. Ooh, In the ancient world, you didn't do that silently. There's a story about St. Augustine in the 3rd century who was taught by St. Ambrose, who was very wise and very scholarly. St. Augustine, who we began our worship with one of his prayers. And
one of the ways that Ambrose would freak people out was that he had this tendency, being so studious, of sitting there and reading in silence, which was weird. It would freak Augustine out. Augustine would see Ambrose doing it and go, "Ambrose, you're just sitting there staring at a book. You know, shouldn't you be reading it?" And Ambrose would say, "I am reading it, but in my mind." And Augustine would be like, "What is that strange witchery?" You know, it'd be like sitting with your hand on a closed laptop and be like, "What are you doing?" It's like, "I'm reading my email." I'm like, "What? How can you do that?" So the eunuch is speaking. He is sitting in a chariot by himself reading Isaiah out loud so the whole world can hear, which would have been normal in that era. And really, you know, it's no less normal than you sitting in the car talking on your little thing. He had a book and was speaking it. And so Philip hears him speaking and reading in this social way, and he hears the words, familiar words, of the prophet Isaiah, which would perk up the interest of any self-respecting disciple. Here, the prophetic book of the Bible that Jesus begins his ministry with, that most resonates with the teachings of Jesus, and it's being read, well, who? Who is reading this? This is someone who would have been considered a radical other, very different. First, they're not Jewish, and they're not Judean or one of them Samaritans he'd just come from, and the Samaritans, you know, that used to be the land of Israel. So they weren't Judeans, the formal Jews. They were Jewish up there in the north. He wasn't that. He was Ethiopian. But there was more. He was in the service of the court and a eunuch, which would have been an expectation, you know, a eunuch. And things were taken away in order to serve the courts. You know, if you think the civil service exams are hard now, you know, it's like, woo. And that made him interesting because he was doubly the other, radically the other. He was a foreigner outside of the blood and the culture of Judaism, and as such, he would have been forbidden from the temple and forbidden to participate in sacred ritual and not welcome in synagogues either. This was a part of the Jewish story. If we read through the biblical books of Nehemiah and Ezra, they are very explicit. The foreigner must be excluded. They cannot be part of you. They need to go away. They are not welcome. But he's not just foreign. He's a eunuch. And Torah is clear about eunuchs. Those people whose unchosen sexual identity differs from the norm are inherently unclean. They are forbidden by the laws of Torah to come anywhere near the Holy of Holies. It's right there in Deuteronomy, clear as a bell. The eunuch is not welcome. They may never enter the tent of meeting. They cannot participate fully in the life of the community. And one might ask oneself, well, why is this person who is doubly rejected by a sacred tradition bothering to read it? There was something about Isaiah that fascinated this Ethiopian, that drew him to seek connection with God and with this scripture that he is sitting in his chariot and reading out loud for the whole world to hear. The Torah and the prophets are complex things, and they require attention. If you read Isaiah, you find that Isaiah takes understanding of covenant in a different direction. In the book attributed to the prophet Isaiah, we find in Isaiah 56 a whole chapter dedicated to how the faith should respond to those who are other and outside. Isaiah 56 says that the foreigners who are faithful to God are welcome. The same chapter says the eunuchs who are faithful to God are welcome and loved by God. And so here, this other, deep in that very part of Isaiah, reading it out loud, and Philip, hearing him, comes over and doesn't check anything. He sees him interpreting a sacred text, asking for guidance in it. And his choice is not to reject, but to sit with the stranger. He looks right past those parts of his identity that don't matter to God, and instead sees a person who needs to hear the good news. And they talk, and he interprets, and it ends with a baptism and a joyous party. It's important for us to hear that, because it's easy, wherever we find ourselves in faith, to use our faith and our walk with Jesus as a reason to exclude or condemn others because they fit into categories that have been traditionally understood as other. This is a reminder. It's a reminder through this person of Philip, willing to step across those boundaries, that our call and our purpose as people who have chosen to model our lives on the life of Christ is that we are to extend good news to all who seek it and yearn for it. It's something very important for us to remember in these months that are ahead, as our national dialogue once again turns to the realm of politics and power. And so much of what we hear and encounter will be finding and presenting categories shown to us. Here is the way you need to dislike this person, or the way you need to dislike this person. Here is why this person is different and the enemy, and this person is different and the enemy. We're going to get months and months and months and months of that. And so as I know, again, whenever we stand in that place where categories and division are used to create hatred for others, we have to remember that we are called to step across those boundaries, to not allow them to divide us, to not allow our hearts to be guided by that hatred of those who are not as we are. And so as you go forth into this world, let that be so, for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation from Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
Our lives are filled with encounters with difference, filled with encounters with people who don't fit into our comfort categories. They may not think as we do. They may not live where we do. They are different. And it is easy for us to view that difference as a reason to reject or oppose or think less of. We see them through the lenses of what we know is good because our culture tells us it is good, and we don't see them as God does. We know that God is love, and so what we are asked to do is to see every person in the same way that Philip saw that passing stranger. Very different, but still someone who's speaking out a yearning for more grace and more life and more hope. As we go out into a world that is so filled with difference as conflict, go out this week, and when you encounter that difference, don't attack it, don't reject it, but simply allow yourself to, in every interaction, express God's love and grace. That is the grace that was expressed on that difficult road from Jerusalem to Gaza. And that is the grace we are called to show in every step of this way that we are walking together as we follow the one who taught us and redeemed us. So let that be your week. Let that be your life. And now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of us today, tomorrow, and our whole lives long. Amen.